This is the Draft Prospect Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
With the 31st pick in the NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select...
Now here to preview the prospect are the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Back here at Gillette Stadium for another Draft Review Podcast with Andy Hart. I'm Paul Perillo, and this is going to be the Andy Hart special, folks, because today is a very special draft podcast because we're going to take a look at offensive linemen, and few in the business can break down offensive linemen like Andy Hart.
Plus, Paul hates it and just skips it.
So. That's correct. That's correct.
Combine those two factors with Eric's on vacation and, woo, it's all Andy.
No, I would build this as the Andy Hart podcast regardless, especially if Eric were here, because that would just get under his skin and, you know, I would find enjoyment out of that. But offensive line is an interesting position, all kidding aside with my, you know, sort of disdain for the position. It's an interesting spot because of the Patriots situation. They have some uncertainty there with Matt Leight still up in the air in terms of a lot of reports indicating he's pondering seriously about retirement. Brian Waters is still not set in stone. Talked to somebody last week. They are very much still wondering about that situation as well. So this could be a major area of concern for New England, as you, as Andy and I are watching some Masters Part 3 highlights with you know, in the background. How high of priority should offensive line be, Andy?
Not super high, and I fall back on this all the time.
Unfortunately, I agree.
My faith in Dante Scarnecchia is, there's somebody on the practice squad he can turn into a starter. There's another Russ Hochstein, Dan Conley, Tom Ashworth waiting in the wings. And, you know, you have, you've invested some talent there. I know people are concerned about Vollmer's health, but you invested a second-round pick there. You invested a first-round pick in Solder to be your Matt Leight. You should have zero concerns about Matt Leight if you're confident that Nate Solder is what you drafted him to be with the number 17 pick, and that's your 10-year blindside left tackle guy.
And I agree.
So I think inside, you know, they re-signed Dan Conley. Copen is still on the open market, although he's visiting other teams. You know, you have Logan Mankins, who you've decided is your guard, and I think, you know, I'm with Bill Belichick. His toughness can't be questioned, so I expect there's probably a good chance he's going to be ready to go for the season or pretty close thereafter.
I agree. And before we get into the these particular prospects at the various spots, I will just add that, you know, to what you said, you took two guys last year in the draft that are starting caliber in Solder and also Marcus Cannon.
Theoretically,
you,
with Cannon.
Right, you took a guy a couple years ago in the second round in Vollmer, who, as you said, has had some health issues, and you re-signed Conley at starter money,
right,
at center. So, you know, you have a situation with Mankins with the knee. I mean, I think that you probably have more information if you're the Patriots, and you probably figure that he's going to be ready to go at least by the start of the season. So you're really looking at kind of depth spots, and I agree with you because of all of that. I don't think you take a depth spot high, you
right,
know, with one of your first four picks
for a team,
you know,
that
two
has
in the first, two in the second.
At other
they have
positions,
other needs, and
the
I think
entire
that
defense
bigger
needs starters, not backups, not insurance. The defense needs starters and impact players. So that's why I think offensive line is, and especially in this draft where you only have six picks and they're all in the first four rounds, you can't take a fifth or a sixth round flyer on a guy because they
don't have any
picks
right now. And I would imagine they will come up with some, and we'll probably try to look at some of those guys, the mid-round guys that are, you know, that caught your eye looking at the tape. But I agree. And you also have, we didn't even mention, Robert Gallery is here ostensibly to back up at any one of four different spots, you know, two guard, two tackle. So there's a, you know, the situation at offensive line for the Patriots. Looking at the guys that are available, I know that we both agreed that at offensive tackle, a guy that the Patriots would have no sniff of anyway, who's going to go probably number three to Minnesota, if not in the top five for sure. Matt Khalil is outstanding, maybe the best tackle prospect you've seen in a while.
Since Robert Gallery, maybe. I don't know what that tells you, since Gallery was a bust as a left tackle prospect. But, yeah, I think Matt Khalil is, pencil him in as a starter for Minnesota or whoever takes him, and you've got your guy, athletic, strong enough, great feet. To me, he's got everything you want, and I think there's a massive, massive drop-off after him. I think that may be the biggest drop-off, and I tweeted this the other day, for any position, is going from Matt Khalil to your next best tackle, your next best offensive lineman, I think is a massive drop.
And we didn't get a chance to see the Iowa kid, Riley. Is
no,
it Rafe? Rafe?
You know what he is. He's going to be
well coached.
How do you
pronounce his name, Matt? You're up on those things, Flash.
Riley Reef.
Reef. We didn't get a chance to see him,
no,
but you know, he's, as you said, you know, he's got
right,
the bloodlines with well, not the bloodlines, but the pedigree with Kirk Ferentz. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I just said that, and I have nothing else to say since we didn't watch him. So.
All right, but I do agree with you on tackle. I think it's probably a lesser priority for the Patriots. I think the Patriots, if they even draft a lineman, will probably be an interior guy
or a versatile guy
later on.
There's a lot of guys in this draft that 2 years at tackle, a year at guard.
There's projected guards that certainly fit that qualification. It seemed like every guy I talked to at the combine had
Well, that's how it is because it's all these guys that aren't athletic enough to be NFL tackles and. They bump them inside, and they seem to now, and I don't know when this transition happened. Used to be you could be, quote-unquote, too tall to play guard. That seems to have gone by the wayside, and there's guys now in that 6'6 range that people say he can project to be a guard inside, which is interesting, I think, that transition there.
Any of these guys in particular catch your eye?
Tackles
first. We'll go to the interior guys next, but the tackles, anybody?
Matt Reynolds, BYU, according to our friends at NFL Draft Scout, is a fourth or a fifth round pick. The son of a coach, a left tackle type, but, you know, maybe some flexibility. I liked what I saw from him on tape. Most of the other guys, quite frankly, I thought were just average guys. You know, they were all kind of the same. None of them really stood out to me, good or bad. You know, there were just a bunch of guys that, yeah, I could see the Patriots taking them. Tony Bergstrom, a kid out of Utah, a little older. He's one of those Latter-day Saints missionary types who's a little bit older.
I liked him as well.
I think he's fine. But none of them other than Reynolds. I thought Reynolds was closest to jumping off the page for a late-round guy that you might say, okay, he could be a Patriot.
Moving inside the centers and guards, always a good idea to look at guys from Wisconsin because – it's just right now it's a factory of offensive linemen. Every year it seems they have at least one or two guys that are highly thought of. This year is no different. They have
a couple more.
Arguably the best center in the draft in Peter Kahns and also one of the top guards, although not the top one. That would be David DeCastro from Stanford. But Kevin Zeitler? I think, yeah, Zeitler from Wisconsin. Another guy who some people think could be a very high pick in this draft. Any of these guys impress you at all?
Well, first of all, DeCastro is very impressive.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I think he is the best guard in the draft. And, you know, a lot of people talk about his teammate Martin at tackle, but I think he's a far better offensive lineman. I was not impressed with Martin. I think the best offensive lineman from Stanford.
Couldn't agree with you more
on
those two.
And then, you know, again, looking at some of the later round guys, a kid out of Colorado, Ryan Miller, interestingly, is one of those guys I'm talking about. He is 6'7". But, you know, there's a lot of projections that have him as a guard. A lot of people have compared him to Nate Solder. He's a guy that he pulls and you know, he does all the things I think the Patriots look for in a zone, quote-unquote, offensive lineman athletically. So I think he's an intriguing guy. And again, not a lot of blow-you-away type guards. I actually think there's some intriguing centers that, as I kind of transition on my own here,
This is your podcast.
Well, you know what? So I'm just going to take
Absolutely.
It over. The guy I've been trumpeting the most is the kid out of Mississippi State, Quentin Salisbury. He played all over. He's one of those guys that I was talking about earlier, the versatility in this class. You know, a lot of people projecting him as a center, but, you know, a lot of people were projecting Marcus Cannon as a guard, and now he could start at tackle for this team, right tackle, as he did, you know, played some right tackle for him last year. So Salisbury's the guy. What the hell was that?
Cannon shot.
Oh, okay. I thought I missed the red flag of gun charges for Quentin Salisbury, so good to know.
Oh, that's great.
But, you know, there's the kid out of Baylor who is the next Canadian firefighting old
yes.
guy to come out of that system. That's
Phillip
what
Blake.
They do. Phillip Blake, I thought was a good, solid player. The kid out of Georgia, Ben Jones, moving a little bit higher in the list.
Ben Jones is an impressive
four-year
kid.
Starter. Just yeah, everything about him is impressive. I think the guys that are projected as centers are better than some of the guys in the guard and tackle in that mid-range there. I think these guys are better football players. Brewster, the kid out of Ohio State, is a good, solid center. He's not Nick Mangold, certainly, by any level, but I think he's a guy that could come in, drafted as the third-round guy, and all of a sudden he's starting for a team. You know, Dan Copen, fifth-round pick, and all of a sudden you're starting. I think there's a lot of Dan Copen types who will never be great, dominating, maulers, you know, never going to get their $50 million contracts, but I think there's a lot of starting-caliber NFL centers in this group.
Ben Jones is a lot like Dan Copen. He's a smaller guy who's thought to be very intelligent, And that's where he gets by. It's technique and intelligence, not necessarily on, you know, gifted athleticism
and
brawn.
Center, because you have guys next to you. If you know what you're doing, if you can make the line calls, and I think there's a lot of guys in this group that fit that.
I think that Andy's right. I think if these guys are drafted where they're supposed to be drafted, quote unquote, around supposed to, because let's face it, even the experts that put these projections together don't know. But I think if you keep these guys in the mid rounds, you can get some good value. Cordy Glenn is a guard out of Georgia, another guy that I really liked. That is a guy who is physically gifted, unlike some of these centers who are a little bit undersized. But a lot of different kinds of players, and I think Andy's right also with the versatility. Almost all of these guys played multiple positions. Your boy Salisbury started at pretty much everything.
Everything.
And he came across very well also at the combine and talking to him. Teammates with Kyle Love, loved Kyle Love, not pardon the pun. So I think there's a lot of different kinds of players to look at. And, you know, I, as Andy said, I think there's some decent value in the middle rounds, but I think we're both in agreement. Not necessarily, an area I want to go to in the first or second round.
Hell no. We want defense. We want playmakers. We want studs. Dante Scarnecchia can take chicken you know what and make chicken salad.
And it's interesting that you mentioned defense, Andy, because
that's where we go next week. That's where people want to go.
That is where we're headed. The next podcast next week will be our first one on the defensive side of the football. I am not sure which position we'll do
safety
first. Right now, I would say defensive back would be our area of focus first. But in any event, we will be doing a podcast. The next one will be on defense, and that's the one you guys have all been waiting for. Until then, peace out.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.